You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
Here we find a blind man that can't see, but knows and acknowledges God. I call this man the man who sees but can't see. But there are others who Jesus instructs not to tell anyone, just like the blind man. He does the miracle of Jairus' daughter, says he clears the room and says, don't tell nobody, I'm just a king in hiding. Heals the two blind men, don't tell nobody, I'm just a king in hiding. He's working out so many miracles. He's connecting the dots of his deity to his passion and desires for change in human society. Although it's not time for him to act like he's a bougie king right now, God has not glorified. He's so humble that he won't magnify himself, Dad. Jesus paints the perfect picture of leadership. He doesn't, he's not self-approved. He has no marketing agency. He's not posting on his social media, Bishop. Jesus is allowing the people who he tells not to say anything to spread the gospel. Because when glory shows up, everybody starts talking. You don't got to promote nothing. You don't got to work nothing. When glory shows up in your business, when glory shows up on your album, you don't got to have that much marketing money, Mr. Baby. Glory's in your voice. We land here, we discover a savior in hiding. Someone who knows who he is, give God a praise right now. Some, going back to Jerusalem as Jesus enters, some people are thinking about who he is. Some are still learning who he is, and others are wondering who he is. But we find these blind men in Matthew 9 and 27 and verse through verse 31 of the Amplified Version. In Matthew 9, 27 through 31, it says, two blind men followed him. Here's another thing again, screaming loudly. It's okay, it's not for everybody. Everybody don't need Jesus like these blind men. Screaming loudly. Here we go. Screaming loudly, have mercy and compassion on us. This is a people group who is used to understanding their relationship with Jehovah through Old Testament law. Why would they use the word compassion? Because they can see that God is now a person. Oh, y'all, not everybody track that. So they're recognizing the deity of the Father and the Son. And they recognize that normally God doesn't have compassion. We have to follow every law. We have to do everything right. We have to sacrifice everything. But something in their spirit, even though they were blind, they felt in faith that maybe this God can care for me. And some of us are too scared to ask God about anything. You think you mess your life up and you don't deserve to ask God for compassion. Someone shout, God, give me some compassion this season. And Jesus went on from there. The two blind men followed him, screaming loudly, have mercy and compassion on me. Here we go, Son of David. Prophetic perception shows up in verse 28. When he went into the house, the blind men came up to him. First of all, so powerful, blind people just finding him. And you weren't by eyeballs on your visit. Blind people finding Jesus. He went into the house. Blind men came. Who? It didn't say the blind men were escorted. The blind men found the glory. Someone shout, money cometh. See, you don't know how it's going to come. But if the blind can find a savior. It's not about money, but I just want to say that to you, somebody who's believing God. Verse 28, he went to the house, the blind man came up to him, and Jesus said to him, do you believe? Here we go. The Amplified says, with deep and abiding trust that I'm able to do this. They said to him, yes, Lord. The power of prophetic perception. Here we have two blind men who can't see but can see. And because they can see spiritually who Jesus is, they can seize spiritually who Jesus is. And because they can see who Jesus is, they can seize who Jesus is. So the two blind men followed him, screaming loudly, have mercy and compassion on us. They've got their faith together. Someone say where two or three are gathered. So see, I can't, if you can't see and I can't see, as long as both of us aren't complaining, but both of us are expecting Jesus to do something, we may be in the same situation, but if you want to get out and I want to get out, and we're going to hate on each other if one of us gets out or not, they have revelation of who Jesus is. In verse 30, it says, their eyes were opened up. He touched their eyes. He touched their eyes. He touched their eyes. And Jesus said to them, do you believe? Do you believe with a deep abiding trust that I'm able to do this? Do you believe? Not is the music good in the church? Not is the preacher good? Do you believe that what's coming out of his mouth can work in your life? I'm trying to raise your faith up today. I'm trying to raise up your faith over your feelings, because many of us have gotten hit with stones of life and it causes us to be in our feelings and now we're in strife with God. But you can believe. Someone say, I believe that on Palm Sunday, Jesus can do something that I never seen done before. Give him praise for that. In verse 30, their eyes were open and Jesus sternly warned them. Someone say, Jesus the King in hiding. Verse 30, see that no one knows this. But they went out and spread the news anyway. We see here Jesus, the King in hiding. Jairus' daughter in Mark 7, 31, they brought a man who was deaf. Let's focus on the deaf real quick. No, we see here that there was another beggar, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on someone who was deaf and had difficulty speaking. He speaks in Aramaic, epatha. Epatha means be opened and released. The glory that was on Jesus had the ability to open up deaf ears and release least stuck tongues. In verse 35, it says, and his ears were open and his tongue was released, and he began speaking plainly. Jesus commanded them, because he's just a king in hiding. He commanded them, don't tell no one that I just made a mute person talk. Don't tell nobody that I made someone who's deaf can hear. I'm working my miracles because the people's faith keep pulling on me. They're not staying stuck in their feelings. They keep having revelation of who I am. And even though it's out of my timing for me to share all my ministry, because I'm trying to stay in hiding so that I don't become crucified too early, but the faith that's in the room, the faith that's in these people, it keeps pulling it out of me. We see here a people group. I know we are in modern day society where we understand the understanding of depression. Leave them alone, they're depressed. Mental health is a sensitive issue, but I can't imagine that they were in the plight of society that we were in, some of them wouldn't receive their breakthrough, because their doctor's report and their medical history tells them it's okay to stay laying down in it. But you have a people group who don't have the privilege of bougie mental health symptoms right now. This is a people group who says, I'm deaf and I can't hear, but I'm going to, and the crazy part is, he didn't ask them to bring him to Jesus. These are people who perceived problems that wasn't even their concern and brought somebody else who was mute. He couldn't ask for help. They brought him to Jesus. We're asking y'all to bring people to church on a whole new life Sunday. This is the type of stuff that creates revival. When you bring people overwhelmed in problems into the glory cloud. When you bring people who are hurting or down, we don't leave them down. Well, I'm not mute. I'm not deaf. No, let me take you to Jesus. I'm not blind. I'm not blind. No, let me take you to Jesus. And we're presenting this week a way that Jesus can be so powerful this week in our service with what we're believing God to do. You need to bring somebody who's hurting, who needs a miracle to our church. Jesus was trying his best in these examples that I'm mentioning to remain a secret. But the people of that days, their faith in him kept finding him, causing his deity to jump into their situation. This is scripturally accurate because Luke 18 and 8 says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, and this part really holds me accountable, will he really find faith on the earth? But you got to remind yourself the writer of the scripture. The writer of the scripture is somebody who witnessed the glory days of Jesus. So this is not the same faith that we see today. This is the faith of the blind man who cried out to Jesus. Luke is writing about the faith in that Canaanite woman who negotiated with Jesus. Luke is writing about the faith who woman with the issue of blood goes out of order while bleeding to crawl towards Jesus. This is not the bougie faith that we have today where we have something in our prayer journal and nobody knows about it. This is an action-oriented faith. This is which means the faith that God is looking for is the person who cries out and doesn't care what people think. It's the person who's busted and disgusted, but I'm worshiping and I smell like tobacco, but my life is upside down and I'm in this church and I'm hurting and last night I was in sin and last night I was broken, but you told me, preacher, if Jesus is in the room, not religion, but if Jesus is in the room, something can change in my life. I still smell like vodka on my breath, but I feel the presence of God. Not me, for real, but I'm talking about example. This example. I have a high call and I can't be up here with vodka on my breath. Now, you can come to church with vodka on your breath, though. There's a difference. There's a difference between leading in church and coming to church. We need all those streaming right now. You can come to church in your broken situation. And Luke is writing, keep that scripture up, in Luke 18 and 8, he's writing about that type of faith. He's talking about the faith that's in the breaking protocol. He's talking about the faith that's in Zacchaeus' curiosity. And he's humbling himself as a tax collector. He has money, but he doesn't know Jesus. Ooh. He has money, but he doesn't know Jesus. So Zacchaeus climbs up into a tree so they can get to know Jesus while he's passing. All these people are curious about Jesus while he's passing. Jesus is not stopping for nobody, but they're able to tap into who he is while he's on the go. While he's on the go, Zacchaeus is climbing a tree. It causes Jesus to stop. And look at Zacchaeus and say, I'm coming to your house. Some of you all got to know how to tap in. And I'm listening, and it's okay, I want to get to this part. But the Lord started telling me to tell some of you of this. This is the type of faith that Luke is writing about. In Luke 18 and 8, he's writing about the mom type of faith, that mama that told Jesus who knew who he is. And it's not his time, but it could be his turn type of faith. In John 2 and 3 and 4, it says, when they ran out of wine, Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Mom, this is not about me. This is about the way. Mom, what are you doing? Why are you asking me to do this miracle? But his mother says, do whatever you can do. The centurion says, just speak a word. Jesus is willing to go to the centurion to deal with the situation. But the centurion perceives who Jesus is because he sees Jesus as a man of authority. But here's the thing. He only had a couple of disciples and crowds around him. They wasn't organized. So what did the centurion tap into Jesus to see? I believe the centurion, without knowing, tapped into who he was in the spirit, realizing that this is a king who has angels all around him and an army at his dispatch. He looked at him as a peer, or if not, he honored Jesus as somebody who has more authority than he does. So he says, come on, you got people with you, you got soldiers with you, just speak the word. So in Luke, when Luke is writing about that type of faith, the faith that perceives who Jesus is in a moment. In a moment, not a religious faith, it's nothing wrong. Devotionals, you version, I'm finishing my Bible plan type of faith. I'm talking about that God can do something right now. They don't got it yet, Lord. Help me, God. They don't got it yet. I don't even need their approval because you're talking to me. That God can do something right now. That's I don't got it yet. Maybe they'll get it right. Maybe see, they're still thinking about the service. They don't know that God can do something in the email while they're in church right now. They don't know that a mortgage lender can go into the office on Sunday who's not supposed to push buttons on a Sunday. They don't know that something can shift in the economy. That the president you don't like can say something you do like that releases something you do like. You are worried about the wrong thing. There could be somebody in government who you don't like, but they sign a policy that you do like, and it releases something that you do like. But you don't understand how God moves. Someone say, I see you passing by, Jesus. The Canaanite woman who begs Jesus to heal her demon-possessed daughter. She rebuttals Jesus' persistency to not focus on her, but to focus on his typical target audience. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs and the crumbs in Mark 7 and 24, they fall from the master's table. Zacchaeus climbs up to the tree. Someone say, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Not my situation. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest praise. They heard about what he did, but what he did until now was in secret. Jesus the king was humble. This is the King Jesus who sees faith. This is the King Jesus who seizes helplessness. Someone say, who is humble? See, we're trying to be humble. He is humble. God is not man that he can lie. This is not I'm working on being humble. I'm working on my humility. This wasn't that type of humbleness, humility. This is clothed in his DNA. This is God's genes connected inside Mary's flesh. This is not, he was not born from sperm. The Holy Ghost showed up inside Mary's belly and produced some type of deity that we never seen done before. It was the Holy Ghost. It was the God Adam seed inside Mary's bosom as the 9 months of pregnancy came. This did not come from that side of the family. So the generational curses that normally happen, he didn't have to worry about those curses. He was birthed in holiness. So he was humble, wasn't working on humility. He was humble. He was as humble as I am black. It was in his DNA. Now we understand in Mark chapter 2 why he mistakenly forgives sins of the paralyzed person who his team don't know how there was an organized structure, climbs up on the roof. Now we see why we find out in this situation, Mark chapter 2, someone say faith is in the room this Palm Sunday. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so quickly, they kept hearing about him. His ministry might have been a little bit more public now. So there was no longer room inside of a house to receive them, not even near the door in the New King James Version. They got it up, cool. And he preached the word to them. What was he doing? What was he doing? He was preaching the word. Now, how many of y'all know if somebody interrupted me right now, that's sort of rude? Okay, he's preaching the word. He's a rabbi. I'm putting into modern day society so you can understand the context of this. This is not a random preacher at this point. At this point, he already has proof of his ministry. At this point, there's protocol. At this point, his disciples are helping him with organized structure and order. At this point, he is preaching a message to the people in the room. And then they came to him, bringing him a paralytic who was carried by 4 men. But they could not get into the room where there was normal access. Oh, I feel the presence of God. I feel like saying that for somebody again. They could not get the paralyzed man into the room where typically there's access. And verse 4, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof. Other translations say they dug a hole in the roof where he was. So when they had broken through the roof, they let down the bed which the paralytic was lying. Here we go. They let down the bed. Jesus pauses his sermon. Why does he pause his sermon? Because he is humble. He is a king who's not like, don't you see I'm preaching? Don't you see, let me finish my sermon. He realizes that somebody's in need of his deity. See, Lord, thank you. I'm okay with not everybody getting this message, but somebody got a doctor's notice and this is everything to them. Somebody's in a situation where they really need Jesus and this is everything to them. And it's okay, because when they let the paralyzed man down, Bishop, through the roof, immediately there were two types of people in the room. There were people in the room who needed a message, and then there was another person in the room who needed a miracle. And some of you are in here, you came to church just for a message, and I appreciate you being blessed, but I'm really here for somebody streaming or who's in service who needs a miracle. I'm not really here, I promise you. You may can get that next week from me, but I'm not here on this Sunday for somebody who needs a message. I'm here to raise somebody's faith over their feelings of being paralyzed and being victimized by life, that Jesus and his deity can work you a miracle. Once they lowered, Minister Joyce, once they lowered this man through the roof, there were two types of people. Some came for a word of revelation. The others came for results and demonstration. And right now, there are two types of needs in this room. And someone say, God knows. God knows. God knows. He knows how to share his gifting. Ooh. He knows how to share his deity. He knows how to stop his sermon and say, if you're hurting, get to the altar. He knows how to stop what he's doing and see somebody being what they would say is out of order. Whose roof are you tearing? They saw a tore roof. He saw a whole miracle coming down. And some of you feel bad because of your situation. God said, it don't look bad to him. He's about to fix that whole thing between now and Resurrection Sunday. If you just come down the roof, come on down here, come to church. I know it looks like there's no room in this church for you. I know it looks like there's a crowd here, but let them lower you down into Right Direction Church International. God knows how to pause the word and produce some results. Tear the roof up for your healing, says the Lord. Tear this place up for his glory, says the Lord. Open up your mouth, and if you need anything from Jesus, shout at him right now. Shout at Jesus right now. And in Mark 2 and 11, this is what the text says. It says, I say to you, he told the paralyzed man, take up your bed and go to your house. Other translation that sounds a little better preaching, take up your bed and walk. And immediately, not next week, immediately, what's inside of God can immediately address your situation. And it's okay because some of y'all don't have that type of faith because you want a sermon, but somebody here is in survivor mode and they need a miracle. They need a miracle. Someone shout, Jesus is humble. Someone shout, Jesus the King is humble. Man, I wish I could preach this like Bishop. Jesus is humble. He's humble. Once again, all this stuff that sounds like good preaching, let's put ourselves into their day in society. These were broken, jacked up, hurting people who did not know order and instructions, and they just desperately needed Jesus to do something a little different for them. Give me that mic. They needed Jesus to do, someone say, Jesus, do something a little different for me. Jesus, do something a little different for me. That one might need this. This one might need that. But I'm here on a Sunday morning, and I don't need another mortgage. I don't need a new house. I don't need a car. I got some blind teenagers in my house that can't see their way out their situation. I didn't come here for no money. I need you to move in my house. I didn't come here for a typical blessing. This one's sensitive to my situation. Matter of fact, I don't found nobody who could do it. I looked at my mentor. My mentor could do it. It's okay, I prayed with my pastor. He recognized even he couldn't do it. I'm not in church because I need a word. I'm in church because I need a change. And the people, when Luke writes about will there be faith in the earth, will there be still people in the earth who ain't just looking for a word, who ain't just looking for a message clip, who ain't just looking for YouTube subscribers? Are there still Christians in the earth who need glory? Are there still Christians in the earth who will follow somebody who has anointing on their life? I'm not following them because they're popular. I'm following them because they got power. And the type of people who followed Jesus during that day and time, they followed him with so much tenacity that they wasn't distracted by the donkey. They followed him with so much tenacity that they wasn't distracted by him having the clout like other rabbis had. Someone shout Hosanna. Someone shout Hosanna. Someone shout Hosanna.
We're going to end on this note. Jesus the King in hiding. Jesus the King who's humble. And Jesus the King who's holy. Someone say holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 holy. Can you help me say that?
Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 holy.
Jesus, the King who is holy. I got to preach this one to get this out. We're going to end like this. Jesus, the King who's holy. Holy means consecrated, separated, and set apart. So Jesus, the King in hiding, was consecrated. That's why when you get married, you consecrate the wedding in the bedroom where nobody is there. So when Jesus was in hiding, he was in consecration. Jesus, the King who was separated. They recognized this is not a typical king who's bougie and uppity. He was separate from other kings. He stopped his sermons. He stopped his policy to heal and taught the people who were not the priority. Jesus, the King that's set apart. He was set apart for the master's use, and that's what they said about the Lamb. So this type of Jesus, who's your king? Someone say, Jesus is my king. This is a king who is holy. And if he's holy to you, shout, holy, 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 holy. When somebody's holy, you don't need to see them to become unblind. When something's holy, if you're around it, if you're touched by it, even if you can't talk, you start talking. When something in somebody's holy and consecrated, the doctor's report changes by Monday. Someone shout holy. And we're about to give God an opportunity to minister to us as the praise seat comes. Luke 18, 35 to 38. This is what it says. It says, then it happened. Someone say then. Then. These are moments in passing. Moments in worship. Moments during praise and worship. Moments when people are singing. There's not the typical thing. That's why you can't go to church for the whole service. You're going to church to find the moment. You're going to church to find the moment in the service that changed your life. And it says, then it happened, and he was coming near Jericho. A certain blind man standing, sitting by begging. They heard the multitude pass, and he asked what it meant. So they told him Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Stay connected with us in person or online. Stream our services live on YouTube or rightdirection.info on Sundays at 9 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. On Fridays, join Dr. Marsha Bailey for Manifest at 12 noon online only. If you're in the local area, join us in Columbia, South Carolina at 1705 Shivers Road. If you're in the Florence or Orangeburg area, join us for services there. For campus service times and locations, visit rightdirection.info.